Good morning, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you are at Eureka Street Crypto Podcast. It is September 6th at 4:47 in the morning. I'm broadcasting from Leander, Texas, and this is episode number 498, I believe. I left it off at 497 several months ago, actually. I think it was last April that I had broadcasted. So, yeah, had a bit of a creator's block, and I've just been busy, man, doing lots and lots of stuff. This has been my experimentation podcast, my brain dump, my message in a bottle, my sandbox, all that stuff, yada, yada, that I would describe it as. Yada, yada. You know, I'm not a New Yorker. I don't know why I said that. But anyway, yeah. So I'm back. I'm going to be recording again, and I hope to anyway, and I at least want to get to episode 500. But I wanted to kind of update you on some stuff that was going on. I know I was working at a hose plant, a propane hose plant. I have officially, finally, completely off their payroll. I have quit. I don't go down all the way across to the opposite suburb side of Austin, down south to San Marcos, from Leander to go to a hose plant to work anymore. I don't even get calls from that anymore. I am completely now in this podcasting and Web3 world, and it has been a big jump. I'm a member of a couple DAOs. I'm recording podcasts for, you know, both Web3 type of projects and MeetSpace projects. I have a podcast about skateboarding that's my own. It's called The Wood Skateboard Podcast. I'm also just started a podcast with some friends called the Won't Shut Up and Skate Podcast. I'm doing an accounting podcast with Merrill Johnson, who I met at the Bankless DAO podcast, Hatchery. And that's the Lifestyle Accountant show. And it's called lifestyleaccountant.co. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. I formed my own company called Eureka Street Creative, which I will go ahead and shill it because this show is now sponsored by Eureka Street Creative. It's really the only sponsor. Well, I'm my own sponsor, but I have the worst website ever. And but I got a chippy on there. And if you don't know, I got a chippy down in the lower left corner for those of you listening. A chippy is a limited series NFT artwork. And I know, all the NFTs are a scam. No, I mean, this guy's literally an artist. And I know it just looks like a funny little cartoon sketch. But let me see here. Let's look up chippy and see what we can find. Just a Google chippy. All right, so what the heck is a chippy? This is the first thing that comes up on Google. I don't know what this is, so this is totally improvised. I'm a new kid on the block, so it'll take some time to catch up on the South Coast lingo and OG spots. Oh, so this is already, this is my personal review of the infamous chippy from Mirasol's Cafe. Okay, so I guess a chippy's a drink as well. If you like caffeine, sugar, and cream, you won't be disappointed. Well, this is not the chippy I'm talking about. So let's go and find another version of chippy. What's going to happen here, because permissionless is coming to Austin, and if you don't know, permissionless is a huge Ethereum conference. So they are having lots of side events, and Austin is known for a lot of its big conferences like South by Southwest and Austin City Limits. And permissionless is having it this year. It's normally a traveling conference, and let me get ChippyCon pulled up. Okay, as you can see in my email, ChippyCon 2023 is 1 week away. Perchy, he's the member of Bankless DAO that is behind Chippy. And as you can see, Chippy is a certain type of, it's a certain brand of artwork, I guess. And he made 500 of them, and he would make them kind of characterized after upon people's requests and what they wanted to look like, or maybe they wanted it to look like them. I just kind of did something simple, like a tired guy with a mic, you know, as you can see here. And yeah, but some people went all imaginary on theirs. Let's go check this out. So if you go to OpenSea and you search Chippy, you will find 500 items. So look at all these chippies. I mean, everybody has their own individual unique chippies. Perchy made them. Ah, is that Ornella's right there? Okay, so Ornella's a contributor in the Bankless DAO, and she also just launched her own podcast as well. That podcast is called DAO Onboarding by Ornella Web 3 here. And here's her first episode, Falling Down the Rabbit Hole. I'd go give that a listen. Yeah, man. She learned a lot about podcasting. She was with me in the podcast Crypto Sapiens. If you're not familiar with Crypto Sapiens, go look at that. That's also another podcast that I have been working on for a very long time now. I think we're 8 seasons in, and Humpty Calderon was the host of the main show, and now he's the host of an offshoot of that now called On-Chain Alpha shows. Yes, Crypto Sapiens, here it is. Rachel Rose is the host this season of the main, and then we've also added on a new show called Don't Say NFT, hosted by Donnie Clutterbuck, that focuses on the world of Bitcoin. So, yeah, man, there's so much good stuff happening. I just haven't had time to work on any of my own shows. Anyway, so back to ChippyCon. I totally got sidetracked. Now that you've seen the chippies here, just go to OpenSea.io, and you will see all these different chippies made for 500 people here. I got in, and I got mine before the door closed. I was kind of last in line. I didn't really want to just jump on some kind of NFT project bandwagon. There's mine right there. But I don't know. I just, I'm a part of a community, really, you know. There's a meme going around that says when you bought up a token, or you got some kind of airdrop of a token, and you ended up in a community. Well, that's kind of pretty much what happened with Bankless DAO for me. And here I am, a part of this community. I find myself a part of the Chippy community now too, because I own a Chippy. So you don't have to own a Chippy to go to this. I'll be there. But it's at Oddwood Brewing, September 10th, for a full night of Chippy fun. Come dressed as your Chippy, play some OG video games in real life with your Web3 friends, FRENS, and join in on the raffle to win some sweet Chippy stuff. So it's pretty cool, man. So yeah, go to www.chippycon.com. That's where that website was. There's a lot of events going on at Permissionless here in Austin. Cool. So another YouTuber or something, like, I guess, yeah, he's a YouTuber, but he's also a smart contract developer, and he owns this company called Cyphron Audits. I've been doing some work for him lately, and you know, the more I'm learning about the company and all that stuff, the more I'm really enjoying what I do. It's like super technical stuff, but the way he puts stuff is very easy to understand, like talking about things like MEV and flash bots and stuff like that in shorts, really digestible shorts. And then he has like 12-hour-long YouTube courses and stuff. But his name is Patrick Collins. He owns this company called Cyphron.io, Cyphron Audits and Smart Contract Auditing Service. And I'm not shilling it. I'm not getting paid by anything except for just, you know, some work that I do. But aside from that, one of the stories that he really brought to life lately that I, you know, kind of got on the wayside. Like last spring, it was a big deal, the whole Tornado Cash thing. And if you don't know about the Tornado Cash thing, I'll let him explain it here in this short here. So check this out.
Look, a lot of people aren't quite getting it yet. We as an industry have the ability and the responsibility to create a fairer, more accountable economic system that has freedom of speech and freedom of expression and have privacy, which is normal and important for decentralized communities to operate successfully. And in the United States, we have Roman Storm, who's being charged for creating this privacy-securing software, Tornado Cash. Look, one of the beautiful things about Web3 is it works even if governments don't get involved. But it'll be a lot easier for us to continue building this better system if we can get governments on our side. The fact that the Tornado Cash devs are being charged with this is absolutely ridiculous, and I urge everyone to go over to the PepperSec donations address, because this is a crucial legal battle for us to win.
Okay, so I wanted to turn that off for a second. Yeah, Tornado Cash. I did not want to forget, because that's one of the reasons I'm keeping the name Crypto in the podcast. So Eureka Street Crypto Podcast, because I refuse now to absolutely look at price. I refuse, because I used to start out every single show by looking at the price, because that's kind of how I'd get warmed up and go through, what's the price of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all these other tokens, blah, blah, blah. It's not about price for me anymore. Like, crypto is... I'm keeping the word crypto in there for cryptography, because cryptography is essential in the base of everything that we're doing, and it ensures privacy in this metaverse that is being lowered down upon us, that is inevitable unless we want to become a total Luddite. And if you don't know what Luddite is, it's just basically somebody that rejects technology and a technological advancement. And I don't want to do that. I like technology. I think technology is good, but I don't want to have all my data and everything that I do be tracked and traced. I want to maintain the idea of cash, that, you know, you can give somebody a $20 bill and not have it be down on the record. Yeah, so, you know, the Tornado Cash was a way for people to be able to buy and sell and trade different cryptocurrencies online using a protocol, a piece of code, and using zero knowledge proofs to do so. Basically, they're arrested, as you saw in Patrick Collins' video. So the narrative, Roman Storm, one of the three co-founders and developers behind the Tornado Cash Mixer, was arrested last night. A second, Roman Semenov, has also been indicted. A third, Alexei Pertsev, faces trial in the Netherlands. And he was arrested where he was arrested last year. As our law enforcement officials and federal governments going after Tornado Cash in an effort to tamp down efforts to make crypto transactions private? Or is it the case that a much more straightforward one about running a website that allowed North Korea to launder hundreds of millions of dollars worth of crypto? So they're using, like, you know, you're allowing North Korea to get nuclear weapons, you know, to bring down the hammer on these guys. And they're just coders, they're developers. So, you know, breaking it down. So now you've seen that the U.S. Department of Justice brought charges against Roman Storm and Roman Semenov, two of the co-founders of Tornado Cash. One Storm was arrested last week and is now on bail. And this was just last week, August 23rd, or that was a couple weeks ago now. As far as the allegations themselves go, there are some facts that aren't really great for the industry. The Department of Justice alleged that Storm and Semenov created a program and user interface that allowed for malicious actors to launder up to $1 billion in crypto, including North Korea's Lazarus Group, which allegedly moved hundreds of millions through the mixer leading to last year's sanctions. And the Lazarus Group, if you don't know, I don't know, how would I describe them? They're kind of some hackers in North Korea. That's how North Korea is able to get money and financing for their nuclear weapons program or whatever. You know, they say these individuals are allegedly helping North Korea with economic transactions, allegedly in aid of a nuclear weapons program. Those are really, really serious allegations. They had to put really twice. Anyway, I don't know why. Anyway, but even if the allegations alleged by the governments are true and Tornado Cash was used to launder money to North Korea, making crypto live down to its reputation as being a tool for the dregs of humanity, the charges against the three accused are very specific, and this case may not be an indictment of the industry as a whole or a power grab over privacy tools. The charges themselves, conspiracy to operate in unlicensed money services businesses, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and conspiracy to violate the International Economic Powers Act, in other words, violate sanctions, are all based on agreements between the indicted parties. Certainly the government will want to prove the substantive charge that he actually did these things, but these two individuals come to a meeting of the minds that the conduct alleged to violate these federal statutes. That is what the government is going to have to prove. Okay, so this next part is important to me. It may also be difficult to distinguish between the time period where the developers had control over Tornado Cash from when they didn't, he noted. Tornado Cash's developers famously burned their keys, arguing that they no longer had the ability to unilateral change a smart contract code. And that's the beauty, that's the beautiful thing about code, is, you know, somebody can invent code, it gets pushed out there, and it's autonomous. Nobody owns it. And that's where a lot of these government regulatory agencies have issues with things like code protocols going out there. The whole idea of DeFi protocols. Who owns that? You know, who's accountable? Who's liable? And all that stuff. And everybody's got to look for some finger to point to, some kind of scapegoat. You know, that's what humanity always is searching for, some kind of scapegoat, somebody to put the blame on if things go south and sour, you know, or if things don't go their way. They want to blame somebody. And, you know, if it's code and it's invented and it's floating out there and people are using it and nobody owns it, I mean, isn't that like kind of a natural resource at that point? I don't know. You know, isn't that kind of just like the ocean? You know, yeah. If you believe in God, which I do, but, you know, God put the oceans out there. We're using the oceans for good or bad. It's just out there as a resource, you know, so I don't know. Is something that we create like code considered a resource, almost a natural resource at that point for people to use? So I think they're becoming to say it's really hard to decipher if the government actually believes they gave up control, but this issue may only apply to the money services business charge. Okay, you got to think about it sort of separate in your mind, the Tornado Cash smart contract from the user interface in the website, because I think that's exactly what the Department of Justice is doing. So are these guys getting busted for creating like a user interface for it? I don't know, you know, because I did go to the Tornado Cash website and checked it out. It was a pretty good user interface. So maybe that's what they're getting busted for. Anyway, there is a website. Developers should not be charged for creating code and open source code. You know, that's how all this crypto stuff got started in the first place. It got started by people wanting to get around centralized government censorship. This is, okay, welcome to PepperSec. So leaders from dynamic companies serious about constant success are constantly concerned with the security of their projects. Finding the right team of seasoned cybersecurity experts to bulletproof your deliverables and take that load off your team is critical. As a manager that takes responsibility for your results, you can rest assured PepperSec will be on the job for you. And they do penetration testing, security assessment, and smart contract audits. Okay, so they look like they might be a competitor to Cypher, or maybe they're just homeboys. So let's see here. So here is a donation website to PepperSec to defend the right to privacy in Web3. Okay, so let me read this and it'll help you understand a little more. Urgent update: on August 23rd, 2023, Roman Storm, the US-based co-founder of Tornado Cash, was arrested despite his ongoing cooperation with the US Department of Justice. So he was totally cooperating. And these are the developers here. That's Roman Storm, I believe. So this arrest happened almost exactly 1 year after the arrest of Alex Pertsev, another Tornado Cash co-founder, by the Dutch authorities. And that's last year. Okay, maybe it was not just last April. It was like last August. Man, time's flying. I did an episode about Tornado Cash and Alex Pertsev. And when he first got arrested. So the arrests of Roman Storm and Alex Pertsev are considered a direct attack on the open source development space and may have devastating consequences for developers who write and publish code. This is why we need to act now to protect our right to code. I mean, I don't code, but I protect the people's right to code. And yeah, that's how amazing new stuff is invented. And what was it? Way back in the cypherpunk days, they, in order to protect the code, when they were trying to get busted, they published the code in a book, and then there were laws against censorship of books. So that's how there's a famous legal case. I'll have to look it up, but that's how they got around one of those instances. Anyway, that's a side note. We at PepperSec Inc. are on the front lines of the defense effort and legal matters related to Tornado Cash. We have engaged an international team of legal counsel to represent the original Tornado Cash protocol developers, specifically Alexei Pertsev and Roman Storm. In order to ensure the necessary resources are available, we've made arrangements to receive donations from those who wish to contribute to the effort, including cryptocurrency and fiat currency. Why is this so important? Tornado Cash is an open source software program that uses smart contracts and a cryptographic method known as zero knowledge proof to enable users to conduct private transactions on the blockchain. So zero knowledge proofs enables people to say, well, imagine like a kidnapper and somebody with ransom money. And neither parties trust each other. You know, they don't like each other. I mean, you don't have to like hate the other person now in zero knowledge proofs. But anyway, how does the kidnapper know that the ransom money is in the suitcase, right? So there has to be some kind of trust there. You know, slide the suitcase over. You know, if there were some way to say for that kidnapper to have some kind of x-ray vision glasses or something on there that will confirm that all the ransom money is in the suitcase, then they can both turn the suitcase and the kidnappee, the kidnapped person, over without any issues of trust there, because they know that, you know, each other, because, you know, and the kidnapped person is hidden behind a curtain, right? So how is the person bringing the suitcase supposed to know that the kidnapped person is behind that curtain? And how is the kidnapper supposed to know that the money's in the suitcase, right? Well, zero knowledge proofs solves that. Okay, and it kind of creates like a little red light, green light that allows, using code, that allows people to know that a transaction has gone through without knowing who's on the other side of that transaction. So zero knowledge proofs enable users to conduct private transactions on the blockchain. This is the first time that OFAC has attempted to treat software code like an entity or person that can be sanctioned. And if you don't know what OFAC is the Office of Foreign Assets and assets control of the U.S. Department of Treasury administers and enforces economic and trade sanctions based on U.S. foreign policy and national security goals against targeted foreign countries and regimes, terrorists, international narcotics traffickers, and those engaged in activities related to the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction and other threats to national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States. Okay, that was a mouthful, but you get the drift. If you get in trouble with OFAC, it's big time, okay? So this is the first time that OFAC has attempted to treat software code like an entity or person that can be sanctioned. This has raised a number of legal issues that are on the subject of ongoing debate. It has also resulted in a lawsuit filed against OFAC on behalf of Coinbase employees and others challenging the sanctions on a number of crimes. So Coinbase is fighting back, you know, like as much crap as I've just, you know, slung about Coinbase and this and that, and that Coinbase, you know, way back in like 2018, 2019, it was like, you know, just like clockwork. Coinbase would crash on you, you know, it's like always like right before bull runs and all that type of stuff. And whatever, Coinbase has had their issues, but they have really been like gritting their teeth and grinding against the SEC, against OFAC, and all these regulatory institutions in the United States that are like just fighting against any progress of Web3 and cryptocurrency, which is like really setting back the United States in this whole thing. But yeah, so open source is not a crime. Somehow I always find myself like on the underdog side of this stuff. Like skateboarding is not a crime. Open source is not a crime. Censorship, you know, is a crime. So anyway, so how can I help? Make a donation. If you'd like to make a contribution towards our cause, defending the right of privacy and the right to publish code, please donate here. So that's cool, man. So this is one of the things that really inspired me to jump back on the mic and to get back on this show is because of issues like this and why I'm into Web3 in the first place. I'm not into it for price and speculation. Notice I did not pull up CoinGecko once, and I'm not going to from now on. I'm going to talk about stuff like this, stuff that really matters and why I'm here. Teach you about cryptography. We'll go to the Nakamoto Institute website more and stuff like that. And just like, yeah, man. Why is this stuff here? Somebody at the pool was asking me, you know, what I invest in. I'm like, I don't invest in crypto. I'm broke, man. You know, like every single bit of money that I make, you know, in crypto, like sometimes I get paid in crypto for doing podcast work. All my money I make goes straight to bills. Like it's just like sucked over to the HOA, to taxes, whatever. I don't have any savings, man. So I'm not investing in anything. I'm not trying to get rich from crypto, but I'm very passionate about the ability to have personal sovereignty and privacy in this metaverse that is being lowered down upon us. So yes, this has been a cool show, I guess, for being back. I got some things I got to work out. I'm simplifying everything as much as possible. I'll be back. I'll be back for episode 499, and probably about a week from now. If you want to give me some feedback or just like say hi, you know, like go to my Twitter at EurekaJohn1, the number one. Somebody else got EurekaJohn. I don't know who or what that is, but, you know, that was a long time ago. Or you can go to my website, my terrible website, EurekaStreet.xyz. Where is that? It's right here. These are all the services I provide, digital media production and all that stuff, intro, outro creation, ad creation, audio content editing, voice mastering, voiceover distribution, social media, videogram, audiograms, copywriting, graphics, motion graphics, live streaming production, product photography. And there's my Perchy, my Chippy. Perchy is the artist who made it. And if you want to say hi to me, I'll be at the ChippyCon 2023 here in Austin, Texas. All right, I will talk to you all later.